Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 12th chapter, verse 14 through 16. Is that correct, Pranapur? Thank you. I'm always going to check now. I'll read verse 14 and 15, and we'll chant verse 16. Nava brahma samutpatti daksha yagnam vinasanam durvasya charitam paschat pritto prachinabharishad naradasya chasambhadas tatta praya vritam dvija navis tattu nuchitra nucharitam rishabhya bharatarascha. Translation. Also described with a progeny of the nine great brahmanas, the destruction of Daksha's sacrifice, the history of Dhruva Maharaj, followed by the histories of King Pridhu and King Prachinabari, the discussion between Prachinabari and Narada, and the life of Maharaj Priyavrata. Then, O brahmanas, the Bhagavatam tells of the character and activities of King Nabi, Lord Rishab, and King Bharat. Text number 16. Dvipa, Varsha, Samudranam, Giri, Nadi, Upavarnavanam, Jyotis, Chakrasya, Samshtanam, Patala, Naraka, Stiti, Dvipavarsha samudranam Girinadyu pavarnanam Jyotis chakrasya samstanam Patala narakastiti Dvipavarsha samudranam Giri Nadyu Pavarnanam Jyotis Chakrasya Samstanam Patala Narakastiti Dvipavarsha Samudranam Giri Nadyu Pavarnanam Jyotis Chakrasya Samstanam Patala Narakastiti. Please chant.
Vipi Varsha Samudranam.
Vipi Varsha Samudranam.
Girinadyu Pavarnanam.
Girinadyu Pavarnanam.
Jyotishchakrasya Samstanam.
Jyotishchakrasya Samstanam.
Patala Narakastiti.
Dvipa Varsha Samudranam. Of the continents, great islands, and oceans. Girinada. Of the mountains and rivers. Is it just me or does everybody think of Govardhan every time they hear it? I don't know. Upavarnam. The detailed description. Jyoti Chakrasya, of the celestial sphere. Samastam. Samastanam. The arrangement. Patala. Of the subterranean regions. Naraka. And of hell. Stiti. The situation. Translation. The Bhagavatam gives an elaborate description of the earth's continents, regions, oceans, mountains, and rivers. Also described are the arrangement of the celestial sphere and the conditions found in the subterranean regions and in hell. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmilita Minatasmai Sri Guru Vedamaha Mukam Karoti Vatsalam Pangumlam Jayate Virim Yakri Patamaham Bande Sri Guru Vedamaha Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaheva Chapta Titanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Mona Maha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiti Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Life is made up of accomplishments. In our linear concept of living, at any rate, we chart our progress through life. At this age, I achieved this. At this age, I achieved this. At this time in my life, I achieved that. At this point, I achieved that. And so on. Our life is made up, when we review it, of a list of accomplishments. I don't know about all of you, but I myself am very excited. We are a mere 75 or so verses away from completing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Completing the entire 12 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, I figured it out. If you average approximately 5 verses a day, sometimes we have 2 or 3, like today, sometimes there's 5 or 6 or 8 or whatever. So just an average of 5 verses a day, in approximately 3 weeks, we will have completed the Srimad Bhagavatam study here in Alachwini Ramanrikhi. That's exciting. I mean, it's actually very exciting, an accomplishment. So what did you do? Well, this week we completed Srimad Bhagavatam. That's quite something to say. Now, particularly, it means if you've been in this community for a number of years, like many of us have, that we've finished the Bhagavatam, and now we'll be able to return to the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Okay, we finished the Bhagavatam, let's read something else. No. All of our acharyas instruct us, just keep reading it. You can read it endlessly. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would speak on one verse for a month at a time. The Bhagavatam is never ending in its glories. The Bhagavatam is never ending in its attractive nature. So going back again to those first 3 volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam is particularly exciting for us, because these are the 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada prepared while sitting in Vrindavan. We can't even imagine the internal and personal ecstasies that Srila Prabhupada was experiencing sitting in Vrindavan. Now, we go to Vrindavan now and we come back. So how was your curriculum, Prabhu? You know, the car noises and the smog. I caught something in my throat. It was so hard because it's very polluted now. During Prabhupada's time, this is the early 60s. I mean, those of us that are fortunate enough to go to Vrindavan in the early 70s, we have this beautiful memory etched in our mind of what Vrindavan was like. You know, and as we go around these horrible asphalt roads that cover every inch of Vrindavan, now we reflect on, oh yeah, I remember this was just ankle-deep sand, you know, like that. You know, when there were no trucks and lorries and car horns and all that stuff. Imagine the Vrindavan of Srila Prabhupada, not only in its material presence at that time, but in the spiritual ecstasies that Prabhupada was feeling. And this is what he put into the Bhagavatam. He said that these 3 volumes, I put everything into it. This Prabhupada admittedly said in many lectures, I'm an old man, I do not know how long I have. So he understood these 3 volumes. This was the foundation of his fulfilling the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to come to America, to come to the West, to preach the message of Mahaprabhu, and this was the vehicle that he began it all with, these first three volumes. So in a mere 3 weeks, we're going back there. So that's exciting. However, we shouldn't be too quick to overlook these final two chapters of the Bhagavad Gita in our hurry to move on. These are essential culminations of the study of Bhagavad Gita from the speaker as we're hearing it from him. Now, any good teacher, any good speaker that has a long period of, you know, like over a semester or, several attendance seminars, that type of thing, at the end they give their conclusion. So we went over the following points that comes like this, you know. Excuse me. So this is exactly what Sutta Goswami is doing in these last two chapters. He's reviewing what he has already presented to us. This shows not only his ability as a self-realized soul, but his ability as understanding how to impart the knowledge to those hearing, because this is what a teacher does. Okay, we did all this semester. Who remembers when we said, you know, da, 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 da? No, that was in the first 2 weeks, of, you know, like that. So he's going in this chapter and he's reminding us of all the different personalities, great, amazing devotional stalwarts that we've discussed, that we've read about, that we've heard about. This is what he's reminding us of. This chapter is that summary. Now, the next chapter is even better. The next chapter is nothing but the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. The entire chapter is just one verse after the next. Actually, there's only 23 verses in the chapter, but just one verse after the next glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, giving just these amazing appreciations. Prabhupada says many times, when one has made their point, they say, therefore, Sutta Goswami is giving this conclusion. So we see these last two chapters in this way, these concluding words, these final points. Now, it is important, however, for us to look at how we arrived here. And by us, I mean us. We who were unqualified to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, usually I speak of myself separate, and all of you is much more advanced than me, which you all are, and myself is the following one. But in this case, we have to be very practical and honest. We are all coming from an impossible place to be able to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. What qualification do we have to even touch the Bhagavatam? What to speak of study it every day all the way through 12 cantos? The only qualification we have is sitting right there, Srila Prabhupada. Because he put his heart and soul and his spiritual ecstasies into these first three volumes and brought it to the West, because he insisted that we all study it, therefore we have this opportunity to be exposed to Srimad Bhagavatam, to actually somehow or another be in the realm of Vaishnavas who for millennia have studied this book, who have made it their life and soul. So, I mean, our good fortune is just unbelievable. But if we go back to the introduction of this chapter here, that there's a little direction in that regard, some show up. Really? The Supreme Lord, Sri Hari, personally removes all the distress of a person who hears about his glories. Whatever words glorify the innumerable transcendental qualities of the personality of Godhead are truthful, auspicious, and conducive to piety, whereas all other words are impure. We should remember these three points. Due to our material conditioning, due to our material mind, we sometimes have the opportunity when we discuss amongst ourselves, oh, do you hear so-and-so's class the other day? No. We're a bit critical, right? Yeah, I don't want to hear that one's class. You know, sometimes that comes present. We should understand right here that the discussion of the pastimes of the Lord is always truthful, auspicious, and conducive to piety. Not mundane piety, but devotional piety. whereas all other words are impure. Discussion of topics concerning the Supreme Lord bestow ecstasy, which remains constantly new. But persons who are like crows become absorbed in unessential topics, those unrelated to the personality of Godhead. This is a telling sentence, this last sentence. This discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam should put us in ecstasy. We should be feeling ecstasy when we discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam. But if we're not, possibly it's because we are like the crows mentioned here, who have interest in other topics instead of or as well as. So those topics, as it mentions here, unrelated to the personality of Godhead. Honestly speaking, to many extents, we are like crows. We have little or no taste for regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. If a devotee is found to be able to sit down and spend a good portion of their day studying, a good portion of their day reading the Shastras, that person is respected. Wow, this devotee's really got a taste. Because the rest of us mostly don't. Now, in this case, I am speaking about myself. I know all of you are honored to be able to listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, one of my favorite times for hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam here of late has been late at night, because I'm driving this car share service thing. And so on my way home, once I turn it off in town, I say, okay, that's it, I'm going home. I have Prabhupada's Bhagavatam lectures, and I pop those in. It's dark, it's quiet, there's not so much traffic, and it's just you and Prabhupada's voice speaking about the Bhagavatam. And I just relish hearing those, because you can completely absorb yourself so easily like that. At least I can. So Prabhupada goes on like that, you know. He says, we don't have a taste, but why don't we have a taste? Well, Prabhupada mentions that in one really nice lecture in 72 in L.A. Just like illiterate, uncultured, animal-like men can be trained up to become civilized. By training, it is possible. Just like by training, even cats and dogs, even tigers, can become obedient. That is our practical experience. The tiger in the circus, they play obediently to the orders of the master. So by training, it is possible. The Prabhupada's indicating here, illiterate, uncultured, animal-like persons. Does that not describe all of us in this current age of Kali Yuga? Unborn, unlucky, kalosudrasambhava. No good qualities. No, I've been practicing devotional service for, you know, so many decades. What was the Prabhupada Priya was saying yesterday about how devotees can, you know, we're so fortunate to have so many devotees who have been practicing devotional service for 10, 20, 40, 50 years like that, whatever, you know. And so we're thinking, no, actually, I'm actually a genuine devotee. Actually, we're really illiterate, uncultured, animal-like people, but we've been trained up by the master. I like how Prabhupada, he's referring to the tiger in the circus, and he doesn't say by the animal trainer, he says by the master. So we can very easily take that and place that word at Prabhupada's feet and place our own head there. But the master has trained us in our animal-like, uncultured, illiterate nature to become something more, to become obedient. But obedient to what? To the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Animal-like, this is not the continued quote, but animal-like, untrained men and untrained women. I mean, that is us. That is us. So we have a bit of hope. We have a bit of hope when we read something like that. That, okay, I have these bad qualities. Bhagavatam confirms it in the first canto. My practical history of my life confirms it. Unfortunately, some of my daily activities of what we strive to listen to confirm it. But there's hope. We can be trained up. So what is that training? That's what we should eagerly want to know. Okay, I can be trained. What is training? Prabhupada continues in that lecture. He says, but there are two types of training processes. One process is a scheduled process. Tapasya brahmacharyena samena dhanamena cha. He says, by undergoing austerity, by controlling sex indulgence, by controlling the senses, by controlling the mind, and by giving in charity, This gradual process will train someone. So this is good. Within proper conditions. But this process takes time. Performing austerities, controlling the sex desire, the mind, the senses. This doesn't happen overnight. This takes many years of application and process. So this takes a lot of effort. I've been doing 10, 15, 20, 50 years, whatever. Years to perfect by this method. Then Prabhupada says, but there is another process. That is the Krishna conscious process. Bhakti yoga is that process. Bhakti yoga means that when you take up this process of Krishna consciousness, then immediately, very quickly, within a second, you can come to the top. And then he gives a long explanation of that example of using the stairs and the elevator. Both will get you there, but in one means you get there very quickly. So we have this opportunity, by the process of Krishna consciousness, by allowing ourselves to be trained by the spiritual master, to give up this lower nature that's described, and immediately bring ourselves to the qualification of being able to appreciate and study Srimad Bhagavatam. Shringatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtanam, Vidanta, stop, Vidabhya. I always mess up that part of the third line there. Vidanti, Shukri. So it's that easy. Just by hearing, by reading, by studying, we'll be able to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Can it actually be that simple? We're assuming that this is possible only for those persons who are very, very advanced in devotional service. This is the qualification. Be very, very advanced in devotional service, and then one can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. A little later in this chapter, verse 54, gives some direction in this regard. The great endeavor one undergoes in executing the ordinary social and religious duties of the Varnashram, in performing austerities, in hearing from the Vedas, culminates only in the achievement of mundane fame and opulence. Oh, he's a very renounced devotee. He very clearly understands how to execute and direct others in Varnashram activities. He studies the Vedas very intently. This will get you fame and opulence. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam, one can remember his lotus feet. You may be a very, very great tapasvi. If you're not remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, it simply makes the heart very hard. You may be very knowledgeable of all the branches of the Vedas. If you're not remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, it's simply mundane knowledge. Not mundane, but academic knowledge. You may be very clear in understanding the proper divisions of society for peaceful execution of human life. If you're not remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, then what is the point? The Bhagavatam is filled with so many verses glorifying this process of remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. Matter of fact, there's one really interesting, how in the back of the index, you want to look up a particular topic and it says, So in the fifth canto, in the back of the Bhagavatam, under the subject matter, lotus feet, it lists, and then it lists where it says whatever, it says page such and such. By forgetting, one becomes puffed up. That's the indication. Oh, if I forget the lotus feet, I'll become puffed up. Let me go and look at that verse. Some, even the great personalities, Seshananta glorifies looking upon the jeweled-like toenails which reflect his own appearance in the lotus feet of the Lord. There's an entire section like that. So these activities, unless one remembers the lotus feet of the Lord, then one is not getting it. How does one get it? By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. By regularly attending. Also in verse 48 of this future chapter, when people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or simply hear about his power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune. Just as the sun removes the darkness, or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds. I mean, this is just such an amazing example here. The Bhagavatam recitation, the attending the Bhagavatam class, the hearing of the Bhagavatam class, gives us that opportunity to have the Lord enter into our heart. Now granted, our hearts are filled with so many impurities, so much dirt and accumulation of sinful reactions for so many births that we've taken in this world. When the Lord enters into it, he cleanses away every trace of misfortune. Every trace. Just as the sun removes darkness and the wind drives away the clouds. These last few weeks we've had really, really serious rainstorms in the evening. And you can see how the clouds come in. You can see the clouds, the wind comes in. You can see the clouds just coming through. Sometimes at a very fast pace. And then when they're gone, then there's the blue sky. And Prabhupada so many times gives the example of how when the sun rises in the morning, even if there's some mist left, once that sun rises, it burns it off, dissipates it, and everything becomes very clear. All trace of darkness is gone. All trace of... Prabhupada gives this example. That's why many crimes take place at night, because people are thinking, oh, it's dark, no one will see me. But when the sun rises, all this is gone. I had a situation in our neighborhood a few days back where the police had to come looking for something. And I wasn't aware that on top of their cars, in that array of red and blue flashing lights, are two spotlights that when they turn them on, they're brilliant like the sun. I mean, it's just like blinding to look at them. And they were searching the yards with those like that. So that's the type of removal of darkness. You know, they do that because, okay, we don't want any shadows. We want to see what's going on, the person we're trying to capture, whatever the case is. So in this way, once the sun comes up, all the darkness is removed. So by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, all those impurities, all that misfortune, all those dirty things, as Prabhupada says, are removed from the heart. They're no longer. This is the result of hearing and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. We find that in the process of executing our daily activities that we're filled with the impact that comes from the modes of material nature. These three modes of material nature are always impacting our life, somewhat goodness, passion, and ignorance. And these modes are divided into four categories, how they affect what we're doing. Prabhupada gives a nice example. He says, Brahman means to come to the stage of goodness. That is a Brahman, stage of goodness. Kshatriya means to remain in the stage of passion. Vaishya means to remain in the stage of mixed passion and ignorance. And Sudra means to remain in the stage of ignorance. These are the four divisions of the three modes. But when we come to the stage of being a devotee, Prabhupada says, that means we have already passed through these lower stages. We've elevated ourselves by this process of devotional service. Prabhupada continues, just like when one goes to college. This automatically means that they've passed through their lower grades. They've already gone through elementary school, junior high, high school. Now someone may say, no, this person was very advanced. They didn't go through those grades. They were able to skip a bit. But they still had to go through that process of knowledge that was associated with those grades. So when one is a devotee, one goes through these modes, isn't affected by them anymore. Prabhupada continues, he says, so you have to come to this point, to the mode of goodness, which means you will have passed over all the lower modes. How to do this? Simply by hearing about Krishna. By such hearing, you are promoted immediately to the platform of goodness. And as soon as you come to the platform of goodness, no more rajas, no more tamas. All of this simply by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is such an amazing opportunity that we've been given. This is why Srila Prabhupada emphasized this in the early, early beginning, this Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning, regularly attending it, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. This is the glory of Prabhupada's instruction in this regard. Excuse me. But there is a flip side. Prabhupada continues on in the same lecture. He says, there are other symptoms besides goodness, lusty and greedy. He says the whole world is moving by lust and greed. And that lust and greed is the stage of ignorance and passion. Those who are embarrassed by the lower qualities in the material nature, they're embarrassed by two things. Lust means not satisfied, and greedy means give me more, give me more, give me more. So this is the greed. Now, of course, in the transcendental realm, give me more is not such a bad thing. We have a particular example in the Govardhan Lila. All the villagers surrounding, Krishna had instructed his father, no, we're not going to worship Indra, we're going to worship Govardhan. Govardhan gives us shelter in the shady trees, gives us fresh water from the lakes and rivers and waterfalls, gives wonderful grasses for the cows, which gives us good milk. Not only that, but on Govardhan, a lot of times the grasses, there's little sharp edges on it. There's certain types of grasses on Govardhan that they're very soft on the edge. They don't cut the cow's tongues. So the cows particularly like to eat those. And different types of grasses from Govardhan Hill have different flavors. So when the cows eat those grasses, the milk has different flavors. I don't know if there's any chocolate grass, but anyway. So the milk will have different flavors. Nothing has to be added in the factory. They have strawberry milk now, banana milk, and whatever. So, but this is already naturally occurring in Govardhan Hill. So when all this was going on, Krishna said, so we'll worship Govardhan Hill. So all the villagers came and they brought so much prasadam. The section of Govardhan where that pastime takes place is quite long. If you walk from one end of it to the other, it takes a period of time. It was all filled with so much prasadam, so many different types of vegetables, so many different types of dals, unlimited types of sweets, stacks upon stacks upon stacks, and I'm not talking four or five, stacks upon stacks of chapatis. All of these things, fresh pakoras of so many varieties, they were all brought there. And Govardhan manifested a farm and ate it all. Now, generally, we don't see that when we make an offering to the Lord that everything is eaten. It's because of our impure vision. In this case. So what was the next thing that was heard? Aniyar. 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 Govardhan requested, give me more. Give me more. That's not enough. I'm very hungry. Give me more. So in that sense, greediness is fun. And it's a very famous pastime, which we all love to hear. And it brings great joy. Just as I was telling that story, I was watching in their own room, smiles invoking on devotees' faces. We like to hear this pastime. It's so pleasing. So that type of greediness is okay. That's not what Prabhupada's talking about in this particular instance. Mundane greediness. And he gives an example. He says, just like a materialistic person, right? They're not satisfied with anything. So they're thinking, if I can get some income, if I can get $1,000, then I will be satisfied. But as soon as they get $1,000, they want $100,000. As soon as they get $100,000, they want $1 million. So Prabhupada says, in this way, give me more, give me more. Never, never satisfied. Here again, by taking up the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we rid ourselves of this lustiness, of this greediness. What was it? The lustiness means not satisfied and always hankering for more. So we can be not satisfied by, I want to hear more Srimad Bhagavatam. We can transcendentalize these two mundane negative qualities, lust and greed. I want to hear more and more Bhagavatam. Please give me more and more opportunity. So this is okay in that sense. The culmination of this instruction is that Srimad Bhagavatam has to become our life-saving force. Just like with Sanatana Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami was a young boy, he had a very interesting dream. And in this dream, he saw a brahmana approaching him. And this brahmana came to him and handed him Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Sanatana Goswami received the Srimad Bhagavatam from that brahmana, his hair stood on end. And he felt immediate ecstasy all over his body. And then the dream broke. We see this a lot in the transcendental dreams of these great acharyas, that just at the high point, the dream breaks. Krishna is very tricky like this. He does this a lot. So the dream broke. And then Sanatana woke up and he thought, Brahman's gone, Bhagavatam's gone, I'm just here in my bed, oh, this is it. So he was very, very depressed. You wake up from a dream, and it was a really good dream, and you lay back down and close your eyes real tight, hoping you get back there. How many of you have done that, right? We all done it. You know, can I get back there? I want to see how that finishes. Oh, but you're not going to do it. So Sinatra was very, so he got up the next morning, he bathed, and he sat down where he performed his worship, and he waited. And then soon, a Brahmana appeared. And that Brahmana was carrying the Bhagavatam. And Sanatana Goswami immediately stood up and he received the Brahmin with great appreciation and kind words. And the Brahmin said to him, here, take this Bhagavatam. Always study it and all perfection will become yours. After he said this, the Brahmin just continued on his way. Walking down the street, oh here, take this Bhagavatam, all perfection will become yours. What? This is also a common theme in the lives of our acharyas, where some amazing event like this happens from a third party who suddenly is not there anymore. So when Sanatana Goswami received this Bhagavatam, it mentions that from that day forth, his ecstasy knew no bounds. He would study the Bhagavatam regularly. He would set aside all other scriptures. He was a very educated personality. Academically, devotionally, studying, he's put all that aside and simply studied the Srimad Bhagavatam, knowing, it says, that the Srimad Bhagavatam was the essence of all scriptures. Matter of fact, he has this one very famous prayer that sometimes I like to recite. O holy Bhagavat, you are my only company, my only friend and my guru. You are my greatest treasure, my personal savior, the emblem of my highest fortune, the very form of ecstasy. I offer my obeisances unto you. This is a prayer that he's put in his Krishna Lila Stava. So appreciating the high position of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says that you are my only savior. How was the Bhagavatam the savior of Sanatana Goswami? Well, we all know that Sanatan and Rupa and Anupam and actually for that matter many other Vaishnavas in the time period were engaged, or I should say enslaved, in the service of Hussein Shah. The Muslim kings had invaded and were ruling that part of Bengal, as we now know it. And they were engaging all these qualified Vaishnavas in the government service. Rupa and Sanatan, after meeting with Mahaprabhu, decided they'd had enough. They wanted to leave. Rupa was able to get away. But Sanatan had a little bit more crucial part. Rupa was the treasurer, so it was easier for the treasurer to just disappear. You've got other people who can disperse the funds. Sanatan was the personal assistant, the minister. So Hussein would treat Sanatan just like a younger brother. He had very great affection for him. I mean, not to be misunderstood that he considered him an equal, but, you know, he was very affectionate because of all the amazing service Sanatan was doing. And Sanatan thought that the affection of this king, the affection of this materialistic person, this is a source of my bondage. This is going to keep me tied up in the situation I'm in. So, for this reason, he decided to stop performing all duties connected with the king. And what did he do? He stayed home and studied Srimad Bhagavatam. Hi, boss. Sorry, I can't make it into work today. I'm not feeling very well. I'm going to be off for about the next 3 weeks. We've only got 75 verses left before the Bhagavatam is gone. Sorry, I'll see you in August. But... I don't think we could get away with calling in sick for studying the Bhagavatam in our modern world, but this is what Sanatan did. He didn't show up for several days at the office, so to speak. So Hussein Shah was greatly dependent upon him. So he called the court doctor. You know, Sanatan, go to his house and see if he needs some care. Remember, he looked upon him as a younger brother. If you don't see your younger brother for many days, you become a little worried. He said, go check on him. So he sent the doctor to the house, and the doctor got to the house, opened the door, and there's Sanatana Goswami sitting on the seat, and there's some of the devotees, and he's speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's folded out in front of him. He's talking from Bhagavatam. The doctor was like, doesn't look sick. So he reported back to the Shah, he's not sick. He's studying Bhagavatam. So the Shah, he decided, no, this can't be. He went there personally. There's that famous one of these cartoon comic strips. It used to be like in the Sunday paper of a guy that calls in sick, and there's a knock at the door, and the guy opens it, and he's got his fishing gear and his pole and everything, and the guy at the door is his boss. He says, I know you're homesick today, but could we have the keys to such and such cabin? So the Shah shows up at his door. He says, you're not sick. You're faking it. So he says to him, you know, I can't conduct my kingdom without you. You are essential. I'm about to take a battle to conquer Orissa. You have to be there to oversee the kingdom in my absence. Sanatana Goswami says, first of all, I'm not going to have anything to do with you giving any difficulty to Lord Jagannath. And second of all, I'm done. Shah becomes very angry at him. He says, if you do not do as I'm instructing, I'm going to punish you. And the minister continues further. He says, actually, you and your brother have ruined all of my plans. I had so many plans for conquering, and with your brother leaving and you not cooperating, you know. And Sanatana simply prayed. He said, you are the independent ruler of Goda. If you feel that something has been done incorrectly, some misdeed, then you can punish them as you see fit. And the Shah said, yes, I will. And he put him in prison. And of course, we know the story continues on from there. We won't go into that at this point in the class. But point is, what saved him? Srimad Bhagavatam. The study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The giving up of his responsibilities to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we may not be in that particular position. We can just abandon everything else and sit and study the Bhagavatam all day. Some of us may be. But at least daily. Nasta Praishu Bhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shokte Bhaktir Bhagavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in the classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service to the personality of God, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. So this is our path. This is our secret. This is the direction. By studying the Bhagavatam daily. And Prabhupada made it very simple. He mentions in regards to this, he says, so this is the process. Nityam. Daily. He says, our 24 hours... giving a little leeway for those that are able to do that. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam or associating with the devotees, Bhagavata Seva, Bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotional service becomes strong and fixed up simply by this process, hearing. Simply, God has given you ears and you can hear, Sringatam. Hear about Krishna from the realized souls, or those that are endeavoring to be realized souls. This process will make you situated on the platform of goodness, and as soon as you are promoted to the platform of goodness, that means you have already surpassed the other two platforms. We just Prabhupada mentioned this earlier, ignorance and passion. And the symptoms, it will all be there. It is very clear. The symptom is two things. This lust and greediness will not disturb you. So here we have it. Very clear and simple indication. Study the Srimad Bhagavatam daily, or if you're able to, 24 hours. I don't know that any of us are able to, but at any rate, study it as much as you're able to, and by that process of hearing, we'll become a self-realized person. So, we have two options available to us. As noted later, this chapter continues on with several more verses. I think it goes up to 56 or 64 or something like that. So, we have two options available to us. The words that describe the glories of the Lord, who alone, as it says, can sanctify the entire atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered to be like place, the words that do not, excuse me, are considered to be like the place of pilgrimage for the crows, and are never resorted to by those on the transcendental path of knowledge. Saintly pure devotees take interest only in the topics glorifying the Supreme Lord. So this is one path available to us. This opportunity to give up these other things, to study the topics of the personality of Godhead. Otherwise, so many other topics are there. So many social media platforms, so many news platforms, so many, of course, during Prabhupada's time, newspapers was all there was. And he gives a very funny thing about the newspaper, how in the morning it is very honored and respected, and then in the evening it's in the bottom of the bird cage. So, and we know what the bird's doing on it. So that becomes the value of it, you know, like that. So Prabhupada explains that that is the process. Now, in the third canto, Prabhupada gives a very interesting collection of words about this daily topic. Gramyakata, it's called. Gramyakata means the talk of the village. This one got a thatched hut. This one got a new roof. That one's daughter got married. This one got a new bullock cart there, you know, so on like that. Gramyakata. Prabhupada says, Gramyakata means any book, any poetry, any novel, any drama, there is a hero or a heroine, a man or a woman. And it is about their loving affairs, their tragedy, their comedy, like that. Actually, it is all called Gramyakata. Gramyakata was even warned against by Jagadananda Pandit in his Prema Bhagavata. He mentions that, my dear brother, you are in the renounced order of life. Now, necessarily he's speaking directly to sannyasis, but renounced order of life means we've given up material pursuit. So you're in the renounced order of life and should not talk about ordinary worldly things, nor should you talk about ordinary worldly things when you meet with others. What a high bar. I mean, honestly speaking, what a high bar. What something we can strive for. The further description is kukata, and the word thrown in on that is matikni. This means common talk which kills the intelligence. So the second option is more to our liking, and that's pointed out here. That literature which is full of description of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, and so on of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, are accepted by purified persons who are thoroughly honest. Such a poetic and glorious, you know, people look for something that inspires them. Who could be more inspired? Bring about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. But when these are heard, even if composed imperfectly, they can purify the heart. So this is a very great opportunity to us, a very, very great fortune that we all have to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. At this point in the 12th canto, it means we've gone through all of this. I think when I first came here, we were just in the third canto. Yeah. So quite a bit of time has passed going through the Bhagavatam. And once we finished, started all over again. This is the process of devotional services. Prabhupada says it's the means and the ends. So we'll finish there. Hopefully these words of glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam will sink into my mundane heart. I know it's already sunk into all of yours. And I'll get a little bit of benefit from such. Thank you very much. If there's any questions, comments, corrections, Ragatmaka, Kivikram.
Thank you, Prabhu, for this inspirational class. You mentioned that, by hearing, Krishna enters the heart and cleanses the heart. How do we understand that when Krishna is already in the heart?
Krishna's in the heart, but he's covered there because we put so many other things in there too. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, if you have a glass of ink and you pour it out and you put it back in the inky atmosphere, it's going to fill up with ink again. So you have to fill it up with something else first, fill it up with milk. So Krishna's in the heart, but we've shoved so much else in there too. So taking all of that out, remember all the misfortunes of the heart are removed, okay, so what now? Put Krishna back in to fill up that hole.
Okay. And also you said when one becomes free from the mode of ignorance, passion, and comes to the mode of goodness, then they can take up devotional service. But then again, there's mixed devotional service according to the modes.
Yeah, third canto discusses that in detail. Yeah, we have to advance ourselves beyond that stage. There's a preliminary stage of executing devotional service, just like I'm getting ready to go to Woodstock for the big Harinam festivals we do there. And we have people that come up and join the Rath Yatra Kirtan that are in less than pristine circumstances. Their mode of appearance, their mode of dress, their level of intoxication and all, but they're blissfully chanting the holy name. Sometimes we give them the microphone and they lead the kirtan. You know, so they're doing devotional service, but it's pretty mixed up. So we may come to devotional service in that means, but we want to graduate to the point where there's nothing in the heart but that pure execution devotional service. This is the Sankirtan movement, to go out and give devotional service so everybody gets that opportunity. Microphone's headed your way.
Thank you for this nice glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam deals with ten topics. So by the end, by the, another 3 weeks or so, then we'll finish the Bhagavatam. We should be able to also imbibe all these 10 topics. Even though the topics are somewhat mundane, like creation, desert, and so forth, but because it's related to the Supreme Lord, then it's also essential for us to understand. I don't know if you'd like to.
There's nothing mundane about the Bhagavatam. All of the topics described in the Bhagavatam are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like Prabhupada Priyamantaji's class yesterday, she's giving that description of Brahma. And it's a rather detailed description. I'm thinking, like, where is she going with this? And then all of a sudden, boom, Satyarupa, because that was the point of the verse yesterday. So it sounds like a rather mundane explanation of Brahma and his indiscrepancies and his dual, blah, 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 boom. So we may look at the Bhagavad and think, oh, that fifth canto, it's nothing to do with Krishna. I can't figure it out. It's completely related to Krishna. We just have to have the patience and the perseverance to see that connection. Patience, perseverance, and purity to see that connection. Something you're going to provoke?
You just answered that completely. But the question about Krishna being in the
heart. I doubt that I could have answered it as well.
No. The question about Krishna being in the heart, even though Krishna is in the heart, and Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions, Jive Sakshat Nahi Chaitya Guru Rupe. So we don't have direct dealings with Krishna in the heart, so he appears before us as like Shiksha Guru. Mm. So that's one point. But the other point pertinent to Bhagavatam is it says, Tulya Bhagavata Krishna Vibhusavasrai Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nanatakai. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, and by oral reception of Bhagavatam, through that Harikatha, Krishna enters the heart. Mm-hmm. So this is the meaning here, that how Krishna will enter the heart and personally clean. He enters through his Harikatha and through Harinam, because also the holy name is non-different from Krishna.
Yes, it has to be a part. It's a railroad's purpose. It's two tracks. You never see a train only on what's... Oh, even the monorail's got two sides around that single piece. You know, so, oh no, monorail only has... No, it's got two, because it's on each side holding it in place. Like that, yes. Speaking of someone that can study the Bhagavatam more than just in the morning, thank you. All right, so we'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai!